What was your reaction when you were appointed acting chief?
I was surprised. You know, I don't know that when I started out, you know, over 21 years ago, that this was necessarily my goal. I'm thrilled that this is the way my career has gone. I've had a really good career, and it's had some ups and downs, and this is definitely the upside.
There seems to have been no skipping a beat since you took the wheel from Steve Krokoff.
One of the great things that Steve taught us is to be a leader is to make sure that you're mentoring the folks around you and that you're building a team and doing things together. That's the important thing. None of us can do this alone. I think, you know, when we talk about community policing, I think one of the things that unfortunately people that criticize community policing, they don't understand that it's a philosophy that you follow. It's not a program. And the philosophy is that the police themselves can't solve all of the problems because we don't just deal with crime. We deal with a lot of other issues. So it's about building those community partnerships so that way we're not just putting Band-Aids on things and walking away from them, only to have those Band-Aids be ripped off and you know, those wounds become bigger. Chief Krokoff did a great job of leading us to where we are now and building a team not only inside the police department but building those bridges outside of the police department so that we're in really good shape. It certainly was a surprise for everybody, but you know, at some point I think, you know, when opportunities come along, especially opportunities that are really good for your family, sometimes you got to take those chances and go with them.
The community at large has been very receptive to your appointment, even sticking up for you when it came to light that you don't live in the city, which has been a requirement.
You know, I certainly hope it's not going to be a problem. I've asked for a waiver for a short period of time. I don't think it's going to be a big issue. I understand the issue. I certainly understand people wanting me to live in the city of Albany. I grew up in the city. I owned my first house here in the city of Albany. So I certainly understand the issue, but my dedication to this city is not less because I live 2 minutes outside of the city lines. My dedication to the city has never wavered, no matter where my mail gets delivered to. Like I said, I certainly understand the larger issue, and I've asked for a waiver for a short period of time, and I'm hoping certainly there's no issues with that, and I really appreciate the support from all of those leaders that have come out and said that, you know, they don't see it as an issue and that they understand the circumstances and support me.
How would you characterize your mission as chief?
My mission is to continue to bring us, you know, to grow this department into the 21st century and to make sure that the men and women of this department have the tools necessary to get their job done, and tools, I mean, you know, all around, and that we continue to build our relationships with the community and really be able to solve the larger problems that we face. And we need to be able to do that together. You know, there are a lot of social issues that are out there that sometimes get left on the doorstep of law enforcement. Because we're the ones that are out there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So, you know, we need to better prepare ourselves so we can deal with those issues, and we need to make sure that we have the right partners with us to deal with those issues. You know, not everything we do, in fact, a great amount of the work we do are things that have nothing to do with enforcing laws. They deal with people in crisis, and trying to help those people out. So we need to have the tools necessary to help those people out, because certainly there are people that need to be arrested and there are people that need to go to jail, but there's also a whole lot of people that's not the answer for. So we need to be able to have those answers so we don't have to do something that is just going to be harmful.
Law enforcement is facing difficult times. There's an undercurrent against authority manifesting itself in actions involving and against police officers, like the murders of those police officers in New York City.
What happened in New York, that's where we as a community, and I say we as a community, all of us, need to stand up and say that that's not acceptable. No one can run around and take a police officer's life because they don't like what they see happening in society. That's an action that they're actually taking against society. So we can't have that, and we need to work together to make sure that people understand that that's not acceptable and that no one's going to stand for that. Our job in law enforcement is to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of New York State. If there are injustices that people, real or perceived, there are ways to make sure those injustices come out and that people have a right to be able to show those injustices, again, you know, perceived or real. But people taking anyone's life, and especially a police officer's life, that's not acceptable. Taking anyone's life is unacceptable. So we can't stand for that. And again, when I say we, I don't mean just the police department. I mean the entire community cannot stand for that.
People have been waiting for an answer in the Donald Ivey tasing death investigation. What's the status of the case?
One of the things that we try to make sure that we are, and one of the things that certainly, you know, I tell people is that we're going to be as transparent as we possibly can be. And it's not that we don't want to give all the answers, but we have a couple of things happening. You know, first and foremost, you know, the one thing I want people to know is that we are continuing to talk with Dante's family. I think that's very important that they have the answers. So even if the general public doesn't have those answers, I think it's important that we keep a line of communication opened up with the Ivey family. But there's two investigations happening. There's the internal investigation here with the police department, and then there's a completely independent investigation at the district attorney's level. There are things that we have learned in our internal investigation that the district attorney's office will certainly learn, or they may have already learned themselves through their independent investigation, but there are things that I need to try to make sure that I don't cloud their investigation. And what that comes down to, and I know when I say that, people are like, okay, that doesn't make sense. It really comes down to one main issue. When we interview our officers are compelled to speak to us. They don't have a choice. And when I say they don't have a choice, I mean they're under basically threat of discipline or termination if they didn't speak to us. And a number of years ago, there was a case in New Jersey that ultimately oversees all of the rights of public sector employees. And that's because if we can compel you to speak to us, then there has to be a basic protection for the Fifth Amendment and 14th Amendment rights of those individuals, that those interviews that are being done for an administrative purpose can't be used against you in any kind of potential criminal proceeding. So now that we've compelled those officers to speak, and I know what those officers have said, if I report back out what those officers have said, I don't want to taint what the district attorney's office is doing, which will eventually know. And again, they may have already known. It's not my place at this point to know what the district attorney knows. That is an independent investigation. But if I taint their investigation, then I'm doing an injustice to that being independent. So that's what I'm trying to avoid doing, is doing that injustice. And I realize that people want answers, and they are going to have the answers as soon as we're in a place where there's not that potential to taint an independent investigation that we welcome, that we understand not only the need for it, but you know, everybody welcomes that independent investigation. So that is where we are.
There are individuals out in communities across America and throughout the WAMC coverage area who are deliberately trying to trip up authorities, get police officers in trouble, exhibiting what could be called threatening behavior, shooting videos, doing other things. What do you tell your men and women in the Albany Police Department? How do you help guide them so they don't become snared in one of these trap scenarios?
I guess I'll say that I'm extremely proud of the individuals that work for this department. The men and women of this department do a fantastic, outstanding job every day. And they have done a fantastic, outstanding job of not letting people get under their skin that are just trying to do that. So what I would say is that we need to be professionals, and we just need to understand that we're probably on video 90% of the time. That's the world we live in. Everybody lives in that. There's video, whether it's somebody pulling out their cell phone, whether it's, you know, from a private business that has video, or from videos that you know, municipalities, including the city of Albany, video cameras that, you know, we own for traffic purposes or for crime purposes or anything else. So as long as we maintain our professionalism, we won't have that problem. If somebody wants to try to goad us into something, to a reaction that's not worth having that reaction, then just leave them be. It's not worth it. As long as we're a professional, we won't have that issue.